Blog Talk Radio.
Again, I do have special permission to play the song as it's playing in the context of the song. And I want to thank the girl band that's performing this. Let me go ahead and slowly go down here.
And good evening and welcome to another edition of Cannabuse. My name is Glenn Keeling. As always, I am your host. I am also the co-founder and chapter coordinator of the Creative Care Beacon. And we are currently the Ohio chapter of the Human Solution International. What that is, a little bit real quick, we are a 501c3 group organization. And what our purpose is to end the abuse and violation of our human rights. And whatever human rights that is violated for you, that's what we're going to do. We're going to champion ourselves and we're going to, you know, fight for you. We're going to be there for you. So if you or a loved one are going through a, you know, civil rights, human rights case, please reach out to us. And the way you can do that is over at thsintl.org. Again, that is thsintl.org. We don't know if you're going through something unless you reach out to us. So we do encourage people to reach out. If you're going through something, please get a hold of us and contact us. And we can help you. We have helped a great many of people. Peggy and I went through our own case. You know, we reached out for the Human Solution. And we got a tremendous amount of help. And there's a lot of people, man, that backed us and did a lot of good things to help us through our case. So, again, if you or a loved one are going through something, please reach out to us. And the easy way to do it is over at www.thsintl.org. Real quick switch over here. Hey, Rhonda, thank you for joining us and watching us on Facebook on the Creative Care Beacon Ohio chapter of the Human Solution International page. So if you guys are on Facebook, jump over. And if not, thank you for joining us here on this radio program. Tonight, you know, I just want to give a shout out really quick to, man, a lot of people that's in the industry that's doing a lot of good for a lot of people that are, man, just helping us everywhere they possibly can. And I thank them, people. And I especially want to thank the people over Canna Care Ops, Lori and Stilo, man, they're some really awesome people, and they do lives, man, and giveaways with their, they have a lot of sponsors that they, you know, get things, and they pass them on to their to viewers and stuff. So you guys, if you got a chance, please check out Lori and Stilo's Canna Care Ops page and follow them as well, because they're great people, and they talk about some really great things. Trish Mullins is another one. She's the CEO, founder, and director of Sprinkle Some Love with a Cause. She is also the CEO, founder, and director of Healthier Me with Trish Mullins. So another great couple of pages to go and check out and people to follow because they're doing great things, man, doing a lot of things to help a lot of people. Education is number one, and especially in the cannabis industry, and if you're going to medicate with cannabis. Education is a big thing, and not just knowing the cannabis, but knowing the laws that goes along with that. You know, because I've heard a lot of people, you know, over the long time of doing this and being an activist and doing everything that I do, I've heard a lot of people, you know, say, man, I'm living in the wrong state. We don't have a program. We don't have access. We don't have this. You know, I'm just living in the wrong state, you know? And I agreed with that because I said it for a long time, and I'm living in the wrong state. And, you know, it's not that I'm living in the wrong state. It's that we have a wrong people representing us. That's the problem. Just a few days ago, August 17th, was a mile marker for me, Parma Free. That's awesome, Rhonda. You know, and listen, you know, we've known Rhonda for a long time. You know, I know I'm jumping subject, but this is just a show, you know, and Rhonda, when we first met Rhonda, man, she was on a lot of medicine. You know, she was in a neck brace. She was, you know, She was hurting. She was in a lot of pain. And we watched over the years with this weight. Man, she's an amazing, amazing woman, amazing friend, you supporter, a great person. Michael Weller, hey, man, hey, are you? I'm looking forward to having you on next week. But Rhonda, man, you went off of pharmaceuticals and strictly have used cannabis and CBD in various levels and doses to medicate and to be able to come off of pharmaceuticals. Now, again, like I said, we've known Rhonda a long time, and we've watched this transition from, and you know, Rhonda, I love you. You know I do, and I don't want you to take this wrong way, but we watched a broken woman come back to life, and it was amazing. And, you know, it was because of cannabis, and it was because she educated herself and knew what she needed in order to kick them pills. You know, that, you know, she was, again, a tremendous, tremendous amount of pain that she was in and she was going through at the time. And my wife, you know, it was really awesome, you know, to be friends with her and to meet her when she, you know, at the point of life when she was transitioning to cannabis. And to watch that transition to the way, to the lady that she is today, and the amount of people that she applies that education to and turns around and helps, that's an amazing thing. And I thank Rhonda for being our friend, and her and Bill. They are a great couple, man. They're awesome people that know a lot, that help a lot of people. And you're right, cannabis gave your life back. And I'm so glad that, you know, again, knowing you as long as we have and being friends with you and Bill, greatly appreciate you guys very much. So love you very much. Another freedom, you know, another fierce fighter, Carrie Cannon, man. She has never met Peggy and I, but, man, she went on a fierce fight and a fierce, you know, picture clause and a letter writing campaign for us that, you know, was amazing. You know, we've never met her, never been face to face, never been in the same room with this lady, man. And the amount that she went to and where she went to help us, and the amount of time that she gave to us, helping us through our case, man, another lady that's a tremendous person that we always refer to, especially when we reach out and we say, you know, do signs up for, you know, people that, you know, are incarcerated. Because, listen, trust me, public awareness is a huge thing. It is amazing to have all kind of public support. And this is another gentleman that we're supporting. Never met him, but we advocate and push as much as we can. His name is Lance Glore. He is serving a 10-year sentence for legal cannabis and in a legal state. Now, it's very simple, very easy. If you're on Facebook, you can see cardboard sign, freelance board. Take a picture holding it, post it online, and you can tag his mother, Tracy Glore Pike, and or Carrie Cannon, and they will get it added to a collage, man, that gets sent. And trust me, again, public awareness, public support is huge, huge thing. And it takes everybody to get our people home. And our people are the cannabis users, are the cannabis plant pleasures. Those are our people. Those are the people that should not be, the least amount of people that should be serving any time is anybody that has any crime concerning cannabis. You know, to go to prison, to go to jail, to serve any amount of time for a plant, for nature. And that's what it really comes down to. You know, you're going to jail for nature. It's a travesty. Another, you know, people that we completely support is Drop All Charges for Adele and Aaron Wisdom. And Adele and Aaron, man, has been fighting this. This is the second time that they have gone through the same thing. They got through it the first time, and, you know, is absolutely politically motivated, especially in her case when she was running for, you know, a seat at the big table, when she was running for a seat at the table. She was running, you know, for political office, and they raided her home over some noxious plants growing on her property. And it's not right. But again, make a sign. It doesn't have to be a big thing. Just drop all charges against Adela and Aaron Wisdom. And post it online and ask, you know, tag Carrie Cannon, tag Adela Wisdom, or Aaron Wisdom, either one. And they can all get it to, again, this collage, you know, that gets sent to the prosecutor, gets sent to the judge. And trust me, they see those things. Those things are seen, and those do have a big determination of a person's case. Dana Bland down in Missouri has a chapter of the Human Solution as well, and they are the hope for change and end of prohibition court support. Of course, you know, there's been, you know, coronavirus has been lacking, so they've been doing it online and doing the way that they're supposed to be doing. You know, another person, reach out to the Human Solution. If you're in Missouri, he's a great guy to be in your corner, to be fighting for you in the courtroom. He will show up and be there. Dana Daigle here in Ohio, man, she is running all over, educating as many people as she possibly can, talking to people. And it's an amazing thing that, you know, of what all, everybody's doing and the amount of work that they're doing. You know, with the Human Solution International, what they're doing with feeding the people, with the Walk for Change, is an amazing thing for people to be involved with this and continue to work with this and continue to do this. You know, the work is a great thing, you know, and we appreciate all the people that do hard work and work on, you know, freeing the plant prisoners and freeing people, you know, and again, it's really easy to reach out to the Human Solution. And there's a lot of great groups to reach out to that you can get to just by reaching out to the Human Solution. I'm going to bring up a guest here shortly, here in a few moments, here in a segment, and we're going to talk with him, and he did exactly the same thing. He reached out to the Human Solution. And when he comes up, I'm going to have him tell you his story, you know, what happened with him, how he went through this, and the outcome. And you're going to be surprised and shocked about the outcome. It's going to be really cool. But I do want to mention, you know, if you are close to the computer, and most of you really are, a really cool company here in Ohio, man, with an amazing guy, man, that this man runs all over, literally all over the place, doing all kind of stuff for everybody. His name is Bill Smith Jr., and he runs a place called the Holistic Cloud. And the Holistic Cloud is in Bel Air, Ohio, but it's down on 3048 Belmont Street. So if you guys are in, you know, in the area, northeastern part of Ohio, northeastern part of Ohio, and you're near Bel Air, I encourage you, please, to stop in there and check out Billy and his shop at the Holistic Cloud down on Belmont Street. And if you are not and you're close to a computer, you can always go over and check them out at www.theholisticcloud.com. And again, that's for all of your CBD products, your smoking accessories. He's got some nice pieces. He's got some amazing products that he works tirelessly hard to run around and to find the best products to bring into the store. I do believe that he was one of the first stores to probably carry D10 and probably first ones to get D8 as well. So, you know, definitely check out his shop online if you can over at theholisticcloud.com at www.holisticcloud.com. What he does is he works with a group called Sensible Coalition. And what they do is they go and they help get people no fine, no time. They're the ones who originally started there in Toledo with all of that, with the Sensible Movement Coalition. And they have done that in a lot of counties in Ohio. They save millions of people in Ohio from no jail, no fine, no time, no fine thing. And that's their motto, is no time, no fine. Because they believe that you should be allowed to carry what the state has allowed and without having any provocation of going to jail or having any fines or that go on your record, because we all know that that does. So again, public awareness is huge, and Bill Smith Jr. is another person to go and check out, and definitely see what his shop's all about. Thank you, Rhonda. Appreciate that. So what we're going to do now is we're going to jump over here on the phone line on the radio show side, and we're going to get with Robin, and we're going to bring him up here. Good evening, Robin. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing really good, my friend. I'm doing really good. Now, you know, I kind of told a little bit that, you know, you had a case of your own that you had to go through, and unfortunate, you know, that anybody has to go through it, but you and your wife, you know, were forced to go through a case as well, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. You want to just, I mean, I know it's kind of sucky in a little bit, but I mean, just give the people that don't know and just joining us just a little bit of background on that. Give us a little rundown of what led up to it and what happened going, you know, getting the case.
Okay. So basically, we moved from Spokane, Washington to Grand Coulee, Washington in 2016, and I have been a medical card holder, growing my own medical plants since about 2012, so I've been doing it for years. And we get out here to this smaller little town and whatnot. Now, at first, you know, people were pretty welcoming. Oh, yeah, we don't mind. I even made sure and checked with the neighbor guy that he wouldn't mind and that I had some plants in the backyard, built a little greenhouse and whatnot. Oh, yeah, no problem, you know, no problem. Well, about a year goes by, and all of a sudden, everything kind of flipped, and they didn't want it. They didn't like it. Constantly calling police on us about every little thing, you know, just trying to get us out of the neighborhood. And it ended up coming down to a whole-on SWAT team raid about a little over 2 years ago. And they came in, just destroyed my whole house, looking, and their whole basis was guns and drugs, is what they were told they would find. They found no weapons, no drugs besides my cannabis plants, and decided that they wanted to rip me down to four plants. The whole time they kept saying, oh, we're not going to arrest you, you know, we're not going to arrest you. Even though my medical cards both stated 15 and 15 for my wife, which we had posted in our window.
So legally, between you two, you are legally allowed to have 30 plants.
Yeah, and see, that's what, as far as I knew, right? So it's kind of on me at some, too, because technically we were only supposed to have 15 until we got the Liquor and Cannabis Board in Washington to approve our second license, which for years I always just had the co-op thing where we had the two, you know. Well, everything changed with recreational coming out and whatnot. The state got involved, and it changed everything up. So we were supposed to have the Liquor and Cannabis Board okay as well to have actually have 30. Well, I had 27 that were rooted in multiple stages, some in flower, some not. And then I had 8 that were just little clones that I just cut down in dirt with baggies on top, you know, rooting. Well, they counted every one of them, and in Washington they're supposed to only count if it's rooted with 2 leaves. And I even tried to show them, like, hey, you know, but I still would have been technically over the 15. And so they didn't even want to look but at the clones and to verify. So anyway, they came in, just total disregard for our medical problems, mental health, and physical problems. My wife has a seizure disorder, and basically the full extract is the only thing that really helps it. The prescription drugs don't do anything. You know, they actually make it worse with side effects. And like I say, they just totally didn't care. They act like it was a big joke. They ended up arresting me on manufacturing, and they even put on a intent to deliver, which they had no evidence of. You know, no control buys done on me. I don't ever sell it. You know, and we need it more than anything, you know, so.
Right.
They added a new designation.
And, you know, the thing with cannabis patients that grow their own, they're typically not going to, and especially because, you know, licensing and the time and effort that goes into growing and processing your own is such an extensive process for an individual to do their own. You're not going to get rid of it because you need all that you're growing. That's why you're growing what you're growing, is because you need what you have.
Yep.
Okay.
And you know what's going into it and whatnot, you know. You know how it's made and how it's grown, what it's been fed. So, you know, you don't want to end up running short and then having to go to one of these stores where who knows what they put in it, you know, and who knows how they're doing it. I don't really trust a lot of them. The way that they, even the way they dry and cure, it's not right. There's some places that, that do it correctly, but it's far few and far between where you'll find, you know, decent stuff at these at the stores. But like I said, there is some good processors and whatnot. But so yeah, they just like I say, they seem to be more pissed off that they didn't find any guns and drugs. Because, like I say, that's they kept yelling that out. Where's the guns? Where's the drugs? Where's the guns? Where's the drugs? And so, like I say, at first they were like, oh, we're not arresting you. They were like, we're going to actually let you keep 4. And I'm like, well, how is that right? It says right here I can at least have the 15. No, we're just going to let you have 4. So come pick your 4 out. So I go in the back, you know, and it's really hard for me to do. You know, I put all this work into it. It was October, you know, so it was just – that's why I cut the clones, because I was about to cut some down to take place of the ones I was going to cut down. So beautiful plants, you know, and so I'm sitting there picking, and they're like, oh, you're taking too long. Just screw it. Arrest them. They grab me. I resisted in no way. Slammed me down on the ground, did the whole number, and took me away to jail. Well, I was – luckily, the judge saw that it was kind of ridiculous and released me the next day on an OR. And they quickly charged me, followed through with the charges. And then I just basically, with a public defender for most of the time until I met with you guys and got with you guys, just kept turning down plea bargain after plea bargain after plea bargain, you know, all the way up until, what, like a couple months ago, like 2 months ago. And we ended up getting the real – well, I shouldn't say real, because public defenders are real counsel. They're just not as good as real counsel or a paid lawyer, because, you know, a paid lawyer has more time to dedicate to your case, as these public defenders have 30, 40 cases, you know, so they just want to plead. Well, I knew all along if I could get in front of a jury, you know, I could most likely beat it. And then the whole Okanagan County – prosecuting office starts falling apart. The main elected head resigned, and then he had never had anything to do with my case. He was just the lead, you know, that passed it down to one of his lower prosecutors' assistants. So then eventually the guy that's prosecuting me then resigns from there. The whole COVID thing happened, so that put my trial and case on hold. There was no court for like 6 months. So I kept pushing and pushing and pushing and saying, no trial, let's go to trial. You know, even with the public defender, you know, I was like, screw it, let's roll the dice, let's go to trial, because I think we can win. And then I come on with the guy that resigned. When he was campaigning, he actually came by and was knocking on doors before he was elected. And me and this guy spoke in my front yard for a good hour about the medical cannabis, everything, you know, all the stuff. And he had stated to me, I will not prosecute medical patients that have their medical paperwork. I just won't do it. Well, I had told that prosecutor, my public defender, that several times. We need to get a meeting with this guy. Maybe he could get the charge just dropped and squash it. You know, let's get a meeting. Let's speak. Oh, no, that's not in your best interest. They're going against you. We shouldn't speak to them. We shouldn't talk to them. Well, I see that he resigned. So I reached out to him, actually, and was like, hey, I don't understand, man. You know, you said that you wouldn't come after us. You wouldn't do that. And he basically says this. I didn't know it was a case below me that I had nothing to do with, so I didn't even know, to be honest. about what anything about your case. And he goes on to say, I'd like to represent you. It shouldn't be any kind of a conflict because I never dealt with your case. I never even saw the file, basically. And then I meet Becca through Facebook, through a mutual friend, and she introduces me to you and everybody else, and we were able to get the funds to pay this guy the $2,500 to represent me. And then we go on, he goes to file a motion to appear, and then I was going to be withdrawn from the public defender. Which that part went through, the withdrawal from the public defender, all that goes through. Well, then the lady prosecuting me now contested it, saying that, yes, it was still a conflict. And in the end, there was, like, fine print stating that since he was a state official during the time of my case and on, that he could not be my lawyer. So he had basically, like, a partner that took over for me. And then he still was able to, like, advise on the sideline because he kind of knew a lot about it, you know, about because he had looked over the whole discovery by then, had a defense that he was already thinking of. And we went at him with, you know, we're going to go to trial. Three different times we went in ready for trial. They first stated that the police office, like, one of the police officers that was a witness was having back surgery. And then the next month we go in, oh, now the one police officer was on a pre-planned vacation, another witness. And they just every time had something. Well, eventually they decided to go from no jail time. They said, well, because they were always pushing for some kind of jail. Jail, probation, all this stuff, and I kept turning it down. They eventually came and said, look, if you sign this paperwork that says you won't get into any kind of trouble for a year, keep your medical license up to date, which I did anyway, I do anyway, then the whole case will be wiped clean, basically. Like, it'll be like it never happened. And at first I turned it down, to be honest. I turned it down. I really wanted trial. I really wanted to beat them. Like, so badly I wanted to beat them in trial. And then they turned around and said, well, no, okay, so first it was a two-year they offered me, and I turned that down. Stay out of trouble 2 years, we wipe it clean. Well, the next month I go in, and they're asking that again. You know, will you be willing to take this? They had another excuse on why they weren't ready for trial. So finally I said to my lawyer, I said, look, you tell them I'll do a one-year and this be done with. You know, one-year deal, no trouble for a year, and wiped clean. And I told them, you know, it's already been 2 years since this case happened, and I have not had one thing, not even a driving ticket. You know, so that there should show them, you know, I've already had this whole 2 years, no trouble, nothing. You know, well, they did the 1 year, and they came back and said yes, like immediately, because I swear they just did not want to do a trial at all. And so I ended up, sadly, like I say, I very badly wanted to go to trial and beat them. I signed the it's called the SOC, Stipulated Order of Continuance. And what it does is it basically puts the case on hold for a year. Yeah, and then if I don't get any trouble, I go back to court in a year. The judge looks at it, okay, you had no trouble, boom, it's gone like it never happened. So I'm about, about 2 months into that now, and I kind of just am staying home. I only go out to, like, my son's stuff, like he just started football today, and so that's basically it. I'm kind of like a hermit now, you know. I don't want to go out and have anything be said about me or anything, because this little town I'm in, you know, they could say one thing, and the police will be at my door arresting me, you know, so I'm almost scared to go out and drop, you know.
Oh, yeah, bro, I absolutely understand. We live in a community of 1,142 people. You know, and I ran for mayor, you know, we held town meetings, we had town functions, we did things for the city, you know, the community. So it's not like they didn't know me. And, but yeah, I mean, it's the same way, you know, my case is over, you know, we're doing what we have to do to get through our case now. And, we don't go nowhere. We don't do nothing, you know, before we did a lot of things, but now we stay home because we don't want people talking. We don't want, you know, we don't want somebody knocking on our door, getting in our business again, you know. It was bad enough going through the 3-year, 10 months that we went through. We're done, you know. And I sympathize with you and your wife, what you guys went through, and I'm ecstatic about the outcome, and I'm glad that the Human Solution and I was able to, you know, provide you help and was able to get, you know, you on and get your story out and get as many people involved as we possibly could, Robin. I'm glad the outcome for you and your wife are what the way it is, and it's an amazing story that you guys are coming to an closing and to an end, going to be an end to this for you.
Yep. Yeah, it's so great that there's even people out there to help with these kinds of things, because I honestly don't think they would have came down off of jail time with my public defender, to be honest. They were stuck on it all the way up until I had paid counsel. Once I had that, then their whole story changed of what they wanted to offer and what they wanted to do. And like I say, if they would have called ready for trial one of those times, we would have went. You know, we would have went in and actually went to a jury. But there were so many little things that they screwed up on with even the testing of the plants. Because by the time they got it back and were able to do any kind of testing, they bagged it up in big bags, you know, live plants, wet plants.
Right.
It was, like, degraded, and it probably had sat in bags for days, you know, so... And then if you look in the paperwork, like I had the whole discovery, I looked in the paperwork, and they mailed it through the post office to their lab, and then they mailed some to a school in Louisiana, a university that does that kind of testing, I guess, but they never got anything back from the university. And their lab took over a year, it was like a year and a half, just to send results back about it. And they had sent the wrong item once. Like, they sent something that wasn't even cannabis, and it was supposed to be my cannabis. And then in the paperwork, it says the lab then sends that back and then waits again for a sample of my plants, which they took 90 grams and then destroyed the rest. So all they really had to show in trial was 90 grams of wet, degraded, you know, probably moldy weed plants. So they were still like 2 weeks out, finished, you know. So.
All right. It's absolutely shameful, the money that they waste going through cases and stuff. Again, Robin, man, I'm so glad that you were able to come on and get your story out and you know, get the help that you guys needed and to get through this. You know, these are the kind of cases that we like, you know, people that know what their rights are, that know the laws. And it's easy if you're in a legal, you know, in a state where you're allowed to have it and you're getting jammed like this.
Yep.
Anything in closing, Robin, that you want people to know or hear?
I would just say if you're in this kind of a situation, never allow them to bully you with plea bargains and scare you. Because they were trying to tell me 10 years in prison, you know, from the beginning. And then you know, when you look into it deeper, there's no way they could have ever given me that. So, you know, just fight it. If you feel like you have a case and you can beat them, you know, fight them to the end. It'll be rough and it'll be hard having to go to court a bunch and deal with all of it. But it's worth it to fight them on
it
because it's our right. And, I mean, we should be able to have this plant, you know. You don't see anybody smoking a joint and going and killing their whole family or driving and wrecking, you know. I mean, who knows about that, but you know what I mean? We should be allowed to have it, grow it, and use it as medicine, as you know, without...
Right, especially if you have state law that's telling you you can't. And that's the important thing, especially if you have state law that's saying that you're allowed to do this and you're following law, there should be no reason why they prosecute you. Again, Robin, man, thank you very much for coming on and telling your story. And, man, very glad for the outcome for you guys.
Yeah, I appreciate you so much, man. Thank you so much again. So everybody that helped with the lawyer fund and all that, and just thank you so much because I know I wouldn't have gotten this outcome without it.
Right on. And see, you guys, that is exactly what public support is all about. Again, Robin, thank you. You guys have a great weekend. Tell everybody that we said hi. Yes, sir. You know, this is why we talk about public support and public awareness and gathering as much people around you as you possibly can for outcomes just like with Robin's. Again, all you've got to do is just reach out to somebody. We're here to help as any way that we possibly can. So, again, if you or a loved one are going through something, please reach out to us at www.thsintl.org. For now, it comes like these, and we'll help. Now we got another guest coming up, and I'm pretty sure I know who it is. And hello and good evening. Thank you for joining the Can of You. You're live.
Is it me?
Yes, ma'am, it is you.
Okay. Hi.
How are you doing tonight?
All right. Good evening. I'm doing good. Well, I had told another patient to go ahead and contact you so they could maybe speak tonight, so I wasn't sure if you met me or not. But
no,
everything that's going on with everything that's going on with House Bill 382, I contacted all kind of local reps and the state senators, you know, this morning, and make sure you tell them that you do support home cultivation, justice reform.
And that's
a lot of things need to change.
And that's the current, HB 382, is that right?
382, House Bill 382.
And that does include home growth for patients and
home cultivation, yeah. I do believe that one, I think that one might be up to 6 plants, which, hey, 6 plants is a start, and to get away from the single source system is only going to benefit more patients, especially mortgages and rent, you know?
Right. I'm trying to get her to, I hope she can see this. I'm trying to get her the number, and it's 516. If you guys want to call in, you're more than welcome to. And the number is 516-418-5539. And that's for if anybody wants to call in. You're more than welcome to call and talk. He's live on Cannabis. So, Dana, let me ask, with this current bill, you know, giving us 6 plants, and how do you think that would benefit Ohio?
Oh, my God. I mean, it's not realistic to be spending $40, $50 every couple days where I'd be able to live better. I've been a legal patient since 2017 and bad, you know, financially, and then of course that adds more to your physical problems and of course brings mental problems on, you know, mental distress.
All right. Well, because, you know, honestly, there's no dispensary that's really close to a lot of us patients. There is a lot that do have dispensaries close to them, but for the majority of us, dispensaries are more than an hour away for a lot of us.
Well, and then look at Stormy where, you know, it's over 2 hours one way. Oh, did you see that Have a Heart Cincy in Cincinnati? Yeah, it's closed down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday. But, I mean,
you know,
I love some of the growers. I love some of the people, you know, at the dispensaries. And it's nothing against them personally or the product. We can't afford the prices. You know, our long-term disabilities don't go away. And, you know, we can't afford to pay this every couple of days. And all I got to say is the only reason I've survived this month is because my ass went to Michigan August 4th. So I was able to buy, you know, it's been over 2 weeks and I still have medicine. And I spent $270.
Hey, you wouldn't have been able to do that here in Ohio.
Right. To last, you know, it's been over 2 weeks. I couldn't do that in Ohio. For $200,
right.
You can't even, $200, is that even a week's worth here in Ohio, Glenn?
No, I'm gonna be honest with you. The very last time that we went to the dispensary, and I'm very ashamed to say this, we spent just a little over $500, and that lasted us just 4 days, I believe. Pushing 5 days,
yeah.
And that took a total of like 9 days, 10 days from each of us. So. We
yeah.
spent over $500 in 20 days on medicine that only lasted us four, realistically.
There's two of you, two patients treating several conditions all at one time. It's unrealistic. I did contact the majority whip leader office today because how are we, as Ohio citizens, supposed to contact our local representatives and our local state senators where they never respond, or if they do respond, it's just that generic
automated one.
Automatic response, like we receive the email, we'll get back to you.
Right.
I mean, yep. How are we supposed to contact our local leaders when they don't listen to us, and we are voters too?
Right. Yeah. You know, I'm with you on that. It's very hard. And if you do get contact with them, you count yourself lucky, because I know that we've been spinning our wheels for quite a while to get audience with a few people over a few issues, and it's the generic response, we'll get to you as when we can. We can schedule this. You get the COVID thing. And, this drives me nuts, this COVID thing and not being able to contact and talk with people. And the thing is if you do get a chance to talk to some of these people sometimes, they sit there in your face and they're all agreeing with you and they're all good with you and everything like this. But that's as far as it goes. We need people that's going to stand by what they say. If they agree with you, then they need to follow through with agreeing with you, because shit ain't changing here in Ohio.
Are we supposed to start hashtags of our personal House representatives and say, make Reggie do his job? You know, what are we supposed to do?
Yeah, I'm tired of bashing my head against the wall. I'm tired of spinning my wheels.
Yeah, Reggie, that means I'm Stark County. Stark County.
Yeah, right. You know, and it's awful, you know, the things that we have to go through. I do believe that Alicia has called. I believe that your friend has called. I think that she's on the other line.
Yeah, go ahead, let her in.
Okay, well, thank you, Dana, for calling in. I greatly appreciate it. We'll switch over here.
Thank you. Have a.
We will. Unmute. You should be unmute. And good evening. You're live on CannaViews.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic.
Well, I understand that you have a story that you want to tell us if you want to talk, so. I'm going to give you, and you guys, this is Alicia. I hope I said that right. Is that correct, Alicia?
Alicia.
Yeah. Okay, you guys, this is Alicia. You can go ahead and let you go for it.
All right. I have multiple ailments that are on the list for qualifying conditions. Now, my problem with the state of Ohio is, well, besides price, of course, is I'm only being treated for one. So I'm struggling with PTSD, TBI, major depressive disorder. I'm supposed to be on mood stabilizer, so I'm using that to stabilize myself, to calm myself down. And I literally, I had to go to Michigan a few weeks ago also. And it was worth my trip. Let me just say that.
Right. So, and that's the problem with Ohio. You know, and that's the problem with most programs. And I'm going to say all programs, because they only allow you to qualify for one thing or another. They don't list they don't take into consideration that you have multiple things wrong with you. And, you know, Alicia, you're not the only one that goes through. And that's sad that, you know, they treat people that way and that we're limited,
program. The thing is, how are you going to go get medication for one thing, but when they find out you're on medical marijuana, they say they can't help you with anything? Well, okay, you can't give me no. I don't want mine altering medication. That's why I went to medical marijuana. But mood stabilizers, I can't take those. I mean, there's a lot of medications that I cannot take that interact with my body and my mind.
Right, and it's unfortunate that we, you know, have to be faced with this, because what, you know, one thing, you know, and, you know, usually it's, they don't address, you know, the more issue, you know, the most, you know, I can't say that, because every disease, everything that everybody has is as important as, you know, one another.
Right.
But they don't address, there's nothing that addresses the fact that you have multiple, you know, diseases and there's multiple things wrong with you. They don't never take that into consideration in your account.
And then the tier system in Ohio, that just kills, like, totally. You add in the tier system and that takes days off. So within my last 45 days, I had 2 weeks gone that I couldn't get anything. That's why I had to go to Michigan.
And it sucks. And it, you know, the Ohio program, even though Ohio has a program, it still forces a lot of patients to break the law, to be criminals. And it's sad that we, you know, that it has to come down to that. And it sucks that Ohio program is as bad as it is, and that there is no, you know,
the Ohio system was set up for profit over patients. Sorry, there was no patient over profit. It's always been profit.
I know that.
I've seen it firsthand. It's disgusting that you're helping medically when a medical person is supposed to sign something saying they'll do whatever they can to help a patient. So, in my eyes, I'm sorry, doctors already failed that fucking thing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Every time you walk into a dispensary, they have failed. If you have to, and, you know, I don't think people grasp what I'm saying about this. When a patient has to walk into a dispensary, they've already failed. They failed already. The program has failed them if they force a patient to have to walk into a dispensary. Because you walk into a dispensary and, of course, you're limited to what you're allowed. And, you know,
right.
I really hate saying that when you're talking about adults, that you're being allowed to have a certain amount. And it's disgusting.
Right. And it's $250 to go see the doctor. Then $50 to register unless you are indigent or veteran. But still $25 more if it's not $50. Then you got to go back for your yearly doctor visit. That's $100, if not more. Then you got to register your card again just to go spend $40 to $50 a day or for 2 days. You know what I mean? It's money, money. That's all they see.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. You know, you have to, you know, to be a patient, it costs money to be a patient. And it's sad.
No, you have to pay to have a disability here in Ohio. You pay to have a disability. Sorry, that's what it's looking like to everybody.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And it's sad. You're absolutely right, Alicia, that it's a sad day when it comes down to this, that, you know, we're forced to have to live this way, you know, just to get a little bit of comfort. And, you know, and that's exactly what it is. It's a little bit of comfort. It's not even healing.
You're right. It's not.
Right. And I say this every show, and I'm going to continue to say this. If a program does not address the fact that patients can grow for themselves, then it's not a good program, period. It's not, because if you have to be limited to the amount that you're allowed to go and get from a dispensary, you're already failing to heal, because you're not going to get the amount that you need. In Ohio, a Tier 1 patient's allowed to have 9 grams. A Tier 2 patient's allowed to have 8 ounces. I'm sorry, 9 ounces and 8 ounces. Or 10 ounces and 8 ounces is how it works out. You're allowed to have 8 ounces in a 45-day period, 90-day, broken down is how they explain it. But it's complicated. You can never go and get the amount of medicine that you're going to need in the amount of time that they allot you to allow to have some medicine. You're not going to heal.
Nope.
That's just the bottom line. And that's not with just Ohio's program. That goes for any program in the land that does not allow their patients to grow for themselves and to heal for themselves.
Right.
And if you're limited to the amount that you're allowed to grow, then again, you're still going to be limited to the amount that you're going to be able to heal.
Yeah, and I read somewhere in Ohio that they only want your plants 2.5 ounces. How the hell are you supposed to make your plants only 2.5 ounces?
You're not. You're not, and that's exactly the whole thing, you know, because, again, it's not geared towards you and me and Rhonda and Peggy and Dana. It's not geared for us. It's geared for the people that put money into those groves. It's for the money, people that are sitting somewhere on an island or on a beach somewhere where they don't have to worry about having to work daily, because they're getting a check every day from us people that are sick, paying them.
Right.
That's who this program is geared towards. And that's
and
most
honestly
programs.
The people that started this program are the people with that are seriously messed up, that are on disability or that are struggling for disability, or, you know, that have something really wrong with them.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, and for them to just let it go wreck and then still not let us grow, that would totally set everybody off.
It would.
I think medical patients should have a medical patient should be able to grow. Because not every
Absolutely.
One of us are going to be able to grow. We're still going to be going to the dispensary, you know, just running up there. Even if we do grow and it is sustainable, we're going to have times where we aren't going to have any cure, and we have to go to the dispensaries, waste our money.
Yeah. It is, you know, and it's sad that, you know, people get rich off of sick,
yep.
And that's what it comes down to. Alicia, I greatly appreciate you calling in with your story and talking with
You're
us.
You're welcome.
You know, I always encourage everybody to call in, because, you know, everybody's got something to contribute to this. And you know, that's, you gave a lot of people something to think about, it, you know, about healing. The amount of medicine that you're allowed to have, and I appreciate you coming on.
Oh, you're very welcome, and it was nice speaking with you.
Yes, ma'am. You have yourself a good evening.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
You know, and that just goes to show that, you know, another person, you know, of a program that has failed, You know, we'll jump back over here with Dana real quick. And see if she's still on. Dana, are you still live with us?
Yes.
All right, cool deal. You know, I appreciate you having her call in, because, you know, that's important, you know, and for people to understand and know that, especially, you, and this is all programs, not just Ohio, but Ohio's is a really bad program, but In Ohio, they only allow you to even talk to your doctor about one of your diseases, one thing. You know, now there's a few that, you know, and I think Rhonda is one of the few that her family doctor is her cannabis doctor. And that's awesome if you can get it that way.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because then your doctor already knows all your conditions, you know, that doctor knows all the conditions and knows everything about you then. So, Dana, I want to ask real fast, your take on the upcoming bill, you know, that's just sitting there, that's just stalled. What do you think of that?
Well, it needs to pass House first. So it's just sitting there in House right now. And if it passes, everything and it has 4 months to go, you know, I mean, we have to have some type of hope. You know, have to have some type of hope. And I hope that they do the right thing for, what, 200,010?
Yeah.
How many? Yeah, about somewhere around 210,000 patients. I mean, we can't keep doing this.
Right. Yeah.
Our health is only deteriorating more because we can't afford the medicine. And I know for Alicia, I told her to quit. She would always just buy the shake and the trim because that's all she could afford. You know, where I told her to go ahead and get Bud in there so it has the terps in it too.
All right. Yeah, because buying shake a lot, you know, it's exactly that. It's just the shake. A lot of times you find a lot of stems and stuff in your shake because they just scrape it all together and throw it in a jar and call it a day. I think that, you know, the program needs an overhaul. I think that, you know, the people that are in charge of this program, the ones that are supposed to be in charge and running the program, need educated. They need to know about cannabis before they sit on the board. And I think that should be a recommendation because quite a few of them know very little to nothing about cannabis.
On this House Bill 382, it does require local imp, Rhonda.
Does it?
I don't know if there's something that we could do there. You know, if we could maybe go and do testimony, patient testimony, show receipts, you know, whatever it takes to try to convince them to pass it the way it is.
Right, right. And you know, it takes all of us gathering together. You know, if we set a day to, you know, to go to the Capitol and you know, stand there in the halls and just shout the same thing, 382, 382, I think we might get some attention. You know, we might get somebody, you know, finally talking to us or at least paying attention.
Yeah, so, I mean, something has to give. Glenn, I met Rhonda in person. I actually got to meet her in Cuyahoga Falls so many weeks ago.
Oh, right on. That's awesome. You know, she's a love, you know, and I'm not just saying that because she's on. I say that because she's an amazing person. Lovely, lovely lady. You know, Peggy and I love her to death. We count her as a really close and good friend. What's that?
That Alicia was there too.
Righto. Right on. Yeah, Alicia did work in, you did work in an Ohio Grow. Right on.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably get you on, use COVID to keep it. Yeah. So it was great meeting Rhonda then, yeah.
Yeah, because Alicia used to work in the industry. And that's another thing about the industry. They know certain ones, their patients, that they require them to work very long hours, 10, 12-hour days or more.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, they're long days and then grow facilities and grow houses. I mean, they're long hours,
they're not,
very long hours.
Yeah, not days, hours. Yeah, 10, 12 hours a day. You know what I mean.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and you know, right, it's true, you're right. Ohio, you know, turns good people into criminals because of the prices. Listen, you guys, I greatly appreciate you guys all coming on and sharing your stories. Dana, I always appreciate you calling in and talking. It's a pleasure every week to talk with you. I thank you. Anything you have for us in closing before we go out?
Only thing I can think of is any patient, or even if you're not a patient, any Ohio voter or Ohio citizen, please contact your state House representative and your state senator. If you have any problems finding that, you can always go to OCAN.com, Ohio Cannabis Activist Network, and they will help you find your state senator, or there's sites up there where you can just enter your address and it'll pop up who the people are and tell them what you need. They say they don't hear from us. Yeah. So tell them what we need. We need justice reform. We need home cultivation, expungement, et cetera.
Right on.
Thank you. I love you and Peggy.
Thank you. You're amazing. Thank you, Dana. Love you very much.
Thank you, Dana. Love you guys.
You guys, if you get a chance, go over and check her page out and see what she's, she offers a lot and she posts a whole lot of stuff. So listen, in closing tonight, I want to say, just to recap a little bit, that public awareness is a major thing. Bringing awareness and education is a big deal. And that's something that we all strive to do is we need to educate and get the word out. And the more people that know, the more that we can grow. So listen, honestly, it doesn't take a whole lot to find a cannabis patient to write to. It's very easy. There's a couple of places you can go to. The Canna Convict Project has a list of people. FreedomGrowForever.org has a list of plant prisoners that you can go to. Or you can just reach out to me personally later on, and I can just tell you, give you a list of people that you can write to. But it doesn't take a whole lot of decency to put pen to paper and to send it to somebody you don't know, just to let them know that somebody out here cares, to give them, drop them a few lines. As always, you guys, thank you very much for joining me. Thank you for always coming and supporting. Next week, we're going to be, I believe next week, I'm going to have, I got to stop and think, Michael Willett's going to be on. He's going to join me live next week, and we're going to talk more about the program and more about him. He's got a story he wants to tell us. So you guys tune in next week and for every show afterwards. I greatly appreciate it. You guys have a great weekend. Mm-hmm.